Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Yeah, it's Monday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 3rd, 2012, episode 543, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Well, it's Monday morning, everybody, and we bring you the holiday hits that Jamie so loves, like this one.
God.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Why do you do this to me?
Oh, it's not done.
You can say there's no such thing as Santa.
There's more.
But as for me and Grandma, we believe.
And another Jennings favorite.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do.
Wow. I love the holidays.
And who could forget Jamie's all-time favorite Christmas song?
Oh.
Hey, jingity-jing, it's Dominic the Donkey, jingity-jing, the Italian Christmas donkey.
Happy Monday, everybody.
La, 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 la.
Did you enjoy my special little opener for you?
In that song, the donkey song, seriously, is that a human or is that a donkey sound effect, you think? It's probably so old that they had some poor guy be like, okay, well, you're going to be in a band and we're going to have a hit song. You're going to sing. You're going to play guitar. You're going to be the drummer. You're going to be the donkey. What a poor guy.
He's like, and it was
I
a hit.
Gotta be the donkey.
It actually was a big hit in Italy. It's a huge thing in Italy. Dominic the Donkey.
Oh. Italians are drunk all the time.
I knew you'd like that little opener to your Monday.
Yes, thank you so much. You know what, Glenn? Monday morning, I cannot believe it. I ride all the time. I ride every single day, minimum two horses a day. Most of the time, three or four. And I go and ride one horse yesterday. One horse yesterday. And I am so flippin' sore. I cannot lift my arms. I cannot stride out at the walk. I am walking like some poor old crippled lady. And I'm pregnant. So all of that together makes a very attractive picture, doesn't it?
Yes. Shh. We're not telling Jamie's doctor that she was riding yesterday. Shh. Keep it quiet.
Yes.
We are not.
She is not a listener.
We're going to talk about that in just a minute, why you're so sore, because I think there was some good. You actually had quite a horsey weekend we're going to talk about here in a few minutes. But first, let's find out for Jennifer what else is on today's show.
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, with a mere 23 days until Christmas, we begin the week with a witty debate on gift giving and perhaps a Facebook-furnished demonstration of the phrase that no good deed goes unpunished. And following a fact-filled chat with the ever-charming voice of Omega Alpha Equine, Dr. Gordon Chang, Wiley, the voice of HorseNation.com, arrives both figuratively and literally with the silliest and snarkiest from the horse world.
Thank you, Jennifer. And you know what? I just counted three more Mondays that I get to play that Monday opener for Jamie before Christmas. Isn't that great? I love that. Nobody said, you know, your doctor said you couldn't ride. She didn't tell me I wasn't allowed to torture you with horrible Christmas music. She never said that.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome. my daily winnie goes out to Mona Leach, who posted on our Facebook page, Glenn, you were right. Some time ago, you mentioned, by the way, she's a fellow Georgian, or George, well, how do you say another person from Georgia? I just did.
She's a Georgia Peach.
Georgia Peach. There you go. She said, Glenn, you were right. Some time ago you mentioned Downton Abbey and how great it was. Well, I spent the last 2 days watching every episode, and it is great. Thanks. So, well, good job, Mona. And anybody else who needs some time to kill, if you want a weekend and it's rainy outside and you can't do anything else, or if you're pregnant like Jamie and you're not supposed to ride, then I highly recommend Downton Abbey. You're going to watch that this year because you're going to have time. You're going to have time on your hands to catch up.
I really want to. I really want to. Maybe that's a good Christmas gift for me, Glenn. It's getting me the entire season.
Well, actually, you know what? Cat just sent me an email. It's for sale right now, and it's on sale. I could buy it for you on sale at Amazon right now, actually, the first two seasons.
I would love that. Go ahead.
All right, good. All right. Your turn.
Well, I have two Daily Winnies. The first one is going to go out to, well, apparently she's my most awesome student because she wrote it on our Facebook page. That's what she said. Her name is Shaylee Hayden, and she says she's one of my most awesome students. And she is in a contest for Rider of the Month. It's a six-bar international something. They make tack boxes, I guess. Well, they do a contest for Rider of the Month. And as Glenn and I read, there's no prize associated with winning this
figure
contest.
Figure out. Maybe there is, and we're missing it.
Maybe she gets to put on her resume that she was Rider of the Month for sixbar.com. I don't know. But whatever it is, I'll find out on Thursday. But she wants us to vote for her. And again, there's really no reason to not vote for her because she doesn't get anything. So go on there and vote for her. She is a teenager, and she is a horse-crazy teenager, and she loves Joe Montana, more than anything in the world. And so go on and vote for her. She's a really good girl. So we'll share that on our Facebook page.
So she is, in fact, one of your awesome students and not just, you know, okay.
Oh, trust me. Awesome. I have some students I'd like to shoot. So, she's one of the ones I don't want to shoot. So she's awesome.
Okay. All right, good. Glad to hear that. Do you have another one? You had another one, don't you?
One more.
Okay.
She's back. That's right. Unbeaten Black Caviar is back to work. The article goes to say that superstar sprinting mare Black Caviar is now back in training and being aimed at the Group 1 Black Caviar Lightning Stakes in February. If you don't win the race named after you, she's got to win this race.
No pressure.
You know, right? The Black Caviar Lightning Stakes being ridden in it. Black Caviar. She's probably going to be the favorite, I would imagine. So she is back. Peter Moody, the trainer, says he would love to see Black Caviar back at the racetrack simply for the fact that it would be positive for racing. And he knows that he has to protect her legacy. So he says he's very happy with her, but extremely conscious of the situation we are in with her, that we don't want to see her beaten now. We certainly won't hesitate to retire her along the way, but I'm hopeful that we do get her back to the track in great form that she's shown all along. So it sounds like the heat is on in Peter Moody Racing Stable.
So if you're a race owner or, you know, a racehorse owner, do you want to run against a horse like Black Caviar on the chance that your horse beats that one, or do you just not even bother entering?
Man, I don't know. Like, you know, the thing that they wanted, like, say, with Man of War, I remember when he raced, I don't remember when he raced, but reading all the books about when he raced,
wow.
All they wanted to do, I was around in 1920, all they wanted to do was beat him. And everybody wanted to be that horse who would beat him. Everybody wants to be the upset, as they call it, you know, because of that race that he was beaten in by a horse named Upset. Everybody wants to be that horse. So I would imagine that, even though they're going to be heralded as a giant a-hole, the horse, if a horse beats her, they still want to be that horse. I guarantee
it. It's kind of a no-win, you know, for that horse. It's kind of less. Well, you have bragging rights, but everybody hates you.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Like what horse was it that beat Zenyatta? See, I don't even remember anymore.
We hate that horse. It doesn't matter.
See?
See?
That's right.
The thing.
Yeah, it's a mixed question.
Don't be that horse. And Zenyatta didn't get beat. She was ridden incorrectly. Thank you.
And I noticed that Game On Dude won over the weekend, too. And I asked Jamie, I said, do we care if Game On Dude won over the weekend? And she's like, no. And is that because Mike Smith is riding Game On Dude now?
I like Mike Smith in every race but a Breeders' Cup race. So, no, it's not Mike Smith. I know he won and he had a great weekend. I just, it's a bummer. You know, I don't really care, I guess. I never fell in love with Game On Dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I lost interest after my sweetheart stopped riding him, so I kind of lost interest after that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of riding, you did some over the weekend. I saw a little post on Facebook with a whole bunch of ribbons, and something about the ribbons were all in common.
They were all blue, baby. I had so much fun on Sunday. There was a show jumping schooling show, basically, and it was just basically every eventer from around the state, because there's nothing else to do right now, because in Phoenix, the weather is perfect to ride, but we don't have any horse trials, any three-day events in Phoenix. So everybody else around the world has stopped their horse trials, and those of us in Phoenix are like, let's go, come on, and there's nothing to do. So one of the eventing barns had a show jumping schooling show, and so we went to that and cleaned up. Oh, my gosh. My horse was amazing. He went out there and just went clean, clean, clean. He went so clean, and everybody else had rails. I didn't even have to do a jump off in the first two. It was just like we were the only ones who left all the rails up. He was awesome. And then the third class, I'd never done this before. It was very, very cool, was a show jumping derby. And what it was you had your show jump course, you had about five or six jumps in show jumping, and then you had to gallop out to the cross-country course. So you left the show jump arena through this gate and galloped onto the cross-country course, and then you had 10 to 12 cross-country jumps as well. I mean, ditches, walk, bank up, bank down, the whole deal. And, you know, I was riding in it. And I did the, like, 2-9 division, being in my condition, you know, as I like to call it. I was trying not to go training level. Like, that wasn't probably the safest. So I went to the 2-9 show jumps division, and it was so dang fun. But I realized, I'm like, you know, I got done with the cross country, and I was like, I just wasn't riding as aggressively as I would have had I not been in this condition. And I told my friend that she's like, wow, that was good. And I was like, yeah, it was all right. I said, I think I'm riding too conservatively. And she's like, no, you aren't. And she's a 1-star, 2-star rider. She's like, no, you weren't. I said, what do you mean? She's like, you were flying. You were hauling your butt out there. I didn't feel like I was going that fast. And apparently everybody was like talking about me like, doesn't she know that she's pregnant? And she's like running around like an idiot out there. So apparently I did not, I felt very conservative, but I did not appear conservative. It's hard to rate your horse's stride. You know, it's difficult, especially leaving show jumping, going out and galloping cross country. But what a fun thing. And then you had to gallop back into the show jumping and jump a couple more jumps, and then you're done. So it's super fun, and we won that too. I don't even know how they judge it. I think I was just the fastest.
I had never heard of that, actually. I had never heard of that either. I've, you know, seen them put cross-country jumps in the arena, but not where you actually leave the arena and come back.
I know. It was so cool. I'd never done it before. And when I was going to the show and I signed up for the classes, I didn't know what that meant. I thought a derby was like, oh, you pick five or six jumps and you have to just jump them as fast as you can. No, I was totally wrong. If my husband had known I was going to be out there running cross country, he either number one would have come or number two would have not let me go. So it was great. I had all sorts of people staring at me going, nobody wanted me to fall off.
Has he become the overprotective husband yet?
Not too bad, okay. But he draws the line at running cross country.
Yeah, I can see why. But you're early.
My coach was like,
it's not like you're 7 months pregnant at this point. I mean, you're early.
Exactly. Sure. Why not, Glenn?
Trying to help you out here.
Stop for it. Thank you. I had my air vest on. I had my point two on. That was fine.
Now, have you mentally decided on it? By the way, congratulations. There were a lot of blue ribbons in there. Kind of monochrome, I would say. You know, no variety. But what the heck? Yeah, kind of boring, actually. But no, you did a good job. They were very pretty blue ribbons. Now, do you think this bodes well for Jet having a jumping career? Should you be sending him to Florida down to Wellington for this winter?
No, I don't think that he's quite that. I think his favorite part definitely yesterday was galloping probably through the water. He really does like a good water jump. So I can't say that was a that he would be better at jumpers. He still, his heart is still true to the cross country. So.
All right. So no 7-foot Pisumpa classes for him anytime soon, huh?
No, God, no. He's not that talented.
Well, that's great. Great day.
Yeah, we had a good day. And then on Saturday, we just totally had a horsey weekend. Chad and I went to the racetrack. A student of mine is looking for a horse and doesn't have
a whole lot
of money.
A racetrack. There isn't any in Arizona, is there?
Sadly, my friends, there is. There is a racetrack in Arizona. It is called, are you ready for this? Turf Paradise.
Oh, God, that sounds like a Penn National kind of racetrack, like awful.
I wasn't quite sure what to expect, and we drove straight to the barns because it was a student of mine is looking for a horse, doesn't have a lot of money, but wants something, you know, she's more than happy to bring it along with me. So I found a horse at the track to go look at. Went to look at this horse and liked him, and we were waiting on the vet to come out. We were going to do some ultrasounding and stuff like that, and an x-ray or two. So we were waiting for the vet. So Chad and I went to the track, and actually we're going to go watch a couple races. And the actual track was beautiful. There's mountains in the background and everything, but then you realize the horses are running in like $800 claiming races. So it's not there's no giant purses or allowance races or graded one stakes races at Turf Paradise. And the backside, because, you know, honestly, I'm a snob because I work at Keeneland. I galloped racehorses at Keeneland, which is...
I don't think you can use that as a comparison for anything.
No, I mean, the barns at Keeneland, there's not a fleck of paint that is chipping off a barn. Nothing. Everything is completely clean, pristine. Things are just gorgeous in the backside, on the backstretch of Keeneland. If you go to the backside of Turf Paradise, oh, good God. I don't know what's
going on back
there.
Don't touch anything.
Well, it might fall over. You don't want to touch anything. It might break. But there were a bunch of nice horses back there, you know, that probably should find homes. And I fell in love with a couple of them. And I told the trainer, I'm like, when that one's done, call me. When he's done, call me. Chad's like, stop looking at horses. It's not for you. But it was great. We found the horse. She liked the horse. She's got it at home, kind of trying him out a little bit. So all horses all weekend. Can't beat that for a weekend.
Well, you know, the lower-level horses need a place to run to. And that's
exactly
why the turf paradises of the world exist.
The ones that just aren't as fast. They've got to be.
That's right.
What did you guys do this weekend?
We actually went out to Disney yesterday for Sunday to see the holiday lights and all the decorations and everything. And us and about a few million of our friends from Florida, I think, were there. It was quite busy. This is rated as one of the lesser weekends, you know, normally not as busy. It was pretty full. There were a lot of people there, but we had a great time. We had a really nice time. They have the Osborne lights there, which are these lights that they bought from this guy in Alabama, and they have them at the studios, and they set them up, and it's Alabama, right?
I think it's Arkansas.
Arkansas, okay. This doctor guy in Arkansas who set him up for his child, who is a teenage daughter, who wanted some lights. Well, he ended up, after a couple of years, buying the properties next to him, and he ended up with over 6 million lights. And the town finally kicked it, said, you can't do this anymore. So Disney took him over and brought him over to and it's hard to believe when you're there that this guy actually had him at his house. but it, because it's just an unbelievable amount of lights. When they put them to music, they play some TSO and everything every night, and it just gets packed with people to see these lights. So that's kind of cool. We try and do that whenever we can when we're down in Florida around Christmas time. It's one of the neat things you have to do. So it was fun. We had a good time. We didn't have a horsey weekend like you, though.
Well, you had how many times you've lived in Florida for not even a year? How many times have you been to Disney World?
Well, probably about once a month. Yeah, we probably go about once a month. We have an annual pass. You got to use it, right? So, and one nice thing about the Florida annual pass is it's much, much, much cheaper than everybody else's if you live in Florida, and you don't have to pay the $15 a day for parking. So you really get in for, you know, price of your annual pass. So it's kind of nice. Now, that's one of the reasons we moved here, was so that we could go to Disney. Now, let me ask you.
You are the only grown man who has ever uttered that statement. Childless
no, not
grown
true.
Man.
No, we have a lot of friends who go to Disney all the time, so that's not true.
Yes, but you that's said true. One of the reasons you moved down there
yes.
is to go to Disney World.
That's true. That is true. That's correct.
But again, I'll throw in.
back to horses for a second. You said there's some drama going on your new page for Sheriff Joe's horses.
Yes, there is some MASH drama. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So I created this page for all of the MASH horses, and MASH are the horses like where I got Jet and where I got Joey, and they all came from the Sheriff's Department, and it's Maricopa County Sheriff's Safe Haven for Horses or whatever. It all kind of equals up to MASH. So I've been posting these horses like one a day, and there's a whole bunch on there that are all adoptable. And so I get a message from a woman who is like, I'm looking for this type of horse, and she was very detailed. I'm looking for a horse that stands between this high and this high. It needs to be broke. It needs to be this. It needs to be this. Do you have anything like that? Well, the officer who's doing the page with me got on there. She answers questions that I don't know the answers to. And she's like, well, you know, we're not really kids. We don't really know their riding history, so you kind of have to take a chance with it. She emails back, well, how much are the horses? Because I can't post their adoption fees online because crazy people will want to come and take them because most of the time the horses are priced less than meat. So they're just small adoption fees. So as I got that message, I got two messages in my message folder, you know, from total strangers that are just sending me an individual message, not something you can see on the page.
The private
and they
ones,
said,
yeah. Yeah.
These are the private ones. One was from, and I'm going to leave her name blank. Hello, my name is blank. I am the president of the Northeastern Nevada Equine Rescue. You received a message about adopting a horse from, beep, from this lady. Please do not adopt to her. She is a known hoarder in Utah and has horses repossessed by other rescues. It is not in the best interest. Animals go with her. If you have any questions, contact me. We are working with her family to get her some psychological help. I monitor her posts and try to head off bad things happening to any horses. She is also a dog hoarder. She's been trying to – and then at that same time, I get another message – from another woman and says, hello, I'm pulling it up here. Just a friendly warning. This lady, beep, beep, has been blacklisted by every rescue in the state of Utah for breaking contracts, theft of rescue animals, euthanizing healthy animals, and neglecting and abusing animals. Please avoid allowing her to adopt. And she's like, I've been involved with several rescues in Nevada because I'm asking questions back and forth. All of this, like, awful stuff. And then I see that she is now one of our listeners actually was like, hey, if you have any minis available that come up that need to be adopted, let me know. I guess she's a mini person. This lady gets on and starts typing her, trying to sell her horse. I've got a mini for sale. Okay, you're banned. Beep. And so I banned that woman from our Facebook page forever. And hopefully, that will not cause any more problems. But, yeah, can you believe that?
It's just you just started it like 4 days ago, and you already have drama.
I know, but you know, this is something we have to be really careful about, and that's why it's great that I have the organization called the Sheriff's Department behind me. So they pretty much check on everybody. But I guess I asked if she had been prosecuted for anything, because that's the only way we would have caught her. And they said, no, she has not been prosecuted before. So that's what they're trying to do right now. So, yeah, good times. Wow. Good times. Drama for your mama on the MASH Horses page.
Well, you've had a lot of, I'm on there now, you've had a lot of positive response on there, too. Have you had anybody that's actually going to go look at horses?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to take somebody down there today. I don't have to take everybody down there. It's not something I have to do, but I got a message. I'm interested in this horse. I'd love to come and take a look at her, blah, blah, blah. And I realized I actually know that person through the Air Force, random enough. So she had no idea that I was even doing the page. And I'm like, hey, it's me. Why don't we go down there? I need to go down there and take some more pictures anyway, because everybody wants more body shots and leg shots and blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to go down there and just snap some more pictures. But, yeah, pretty cool. I'm going down there and taking somebody today, and it's the one horse that I didn't really take a lot of pictures of, because I'm like, oh, nobody's going to want this one. And this is the first one somebody wants.
That figures. Isn't it always that way?
Yeah, it's the one that fell over with a rider and has really crooked legs. Her name is Dolly. And she's 8 to 10, quarter horse, 15-2. And basically, we have radiographs. She's really crooked. She's only cleared for light riding on flat ground. And they're like, we have a small child, and we just want to pony him around with us while we ride around on flat ground at a walk. I was like, no.
Well, that worked.
No, that's perfect.
Terrific. Well, that's great. You're doing a good thing there, and, you know, I realize it's time-consuming and everything, but you know what? If you can help find a couple horses' homes, it's all worth it.
I really plan. My goal is to have four of these. This is a personal goal I set, not any reason why this number, but I hope to have four adopted by Christmas. Four horses
for
Christmas.
Well, that'll be a Merry Christmas to Sheriff Joe's gang out there, too.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to Chad when I bring home four horses.
Well, see, I know that's not going to happen because I happen to know that you're kind of running out of room.
Yeah.
You don't really have a whole lot of room. You're going to have to be like the Osborne guy and buy the properties next door to fit any more horses. I know that.
That'd be great. There's one for sale.
Well, Dr. Chang's going to be with us shortly here, and he's going to be talking about respiratory issues today in just a moment. Later on in the show, we have coming up Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation is going to be with us, and she's going to be talking about really the last time that there were ponies that were kept at the White House. Plus, I actually found several happy horse stories for us today that we're going to do later on in the show as well. You know, we don't always have those. It's hard sometimes to find happy horse stories, but I have some of those too. And then later on in the week, you talk about songs, Jamie. Well, Wednesday, for my crappy list, every year there's a website that takes a survey of the 10 worst holiday songs. So we're going to go over those, and also you're going to pick your worst, I'm going to pick my worst, and Jennifer's going to pick her worst. So we're going to have kind of a musical start to the show on Wednesday with the worst holiday song. That's all coming up later in the week. But I think Dr. Chang is ready.
Well, fantastic. We would like to welcome Dr. Chang. Are you there?
I am here. Good morning to everyone.
How are you in Canada right now? Are you freezing to death?
No, yes, I'm in Canada. It's not too bad today. If I spoke to you last week, I would be freezing my behind off. But today's not that bad. It could be worse.
Oh, good. Well, of course, as always, thank you so much for sponsoring Monday's shows. And we always love to get you on here to kind of catch up on what we need to remember about taking care of our horses. Now, I do want you to know I went to a jumper show and I got several comments on my very cute pink Omega Alpha hat that I was wearing. I always represent at horse shows, and people go, hey, I use that Omega Alpha. Where'd you get the hat? I'm like, aren't you special to own an Omega Alpha
hat? You just tell them that you're special. There you go.
Yeah. that's what I do. And they go, okay, seriously, who'd you steal it from then? So, whatever. So, Dr. Chang, we're going to talk a little bit about respiratory issues and how we can solve those. And it's a great time of year because a lot of times now, this time of year, people got their horses in the barn. They've got the doors closed because it's cold. Is this kind of thing going to cause an issue, and what can we do about it?
Respiratory issues, I find, is growing. It's getting more and more as we go out there. And I wish I could tell you we have the solution. But unfortunately, the underlying solution is very elusive. I could tell you why we get them. There are lots of reasons why people get respiratory issues with their horses, especially in North America or any cold climate. We tend to keep our horses in the barns and close the door, etc. The problem with that is that we have a lot of mold when the door is closed, and people say, oh, well, you know, the mold issue is not a big deal. But if you're living in a moldy house, you know, sooner or later, you react to everything
right.
Under the sun. The analogy I use when I talk to people is I say to them, you know, I have seasonal allergies. Springtime is the worst. And in the wintertime, I am practically allergy-free. So I could go into a room where everybody's smoking, and I could sit there for an hour, and I probably last for 2 hours before I got to get out. In the springtime, I'm reacting to almost everything under the sun. So I go into a smoke-filled room. I'm good for 10 minutes before I got to get out. Well, it's the same thing with horses. All right, if you're living in a mold environment and it's closed and there's no air flowing in and out, the concentration of mold particles go up. After a while, they start reacting to the mold particles. So after a while, any little thing pushes them over the edge as far as breathing issues go, right? I would say probably one of the best solutions to this is to leave them outdoors and let them get as much fresh air as you can and keep them indoors as least as possible, right? Again, sometimes some of these issues arise because of how we train them indoors, especially our hunters and jumpers and dressage, because we use an indoor arena, which is usually tend to be dusty. And how do we keep the dust down? We water down the we wet down the arena.
Funny, yeah.
Right, and then what happens then is that it never gets really a chance to dry out. So voila. You have mold formation in there, right? Now, remember when the horse's head is down and it's kicking up the dust, every time it kicks up the dust, some of that mold spores, he's breathing it in. He or she's breathing it in. Next thing you know, they start reacting to all these mold spores. And these are some of the things that contribute to respiratory issues. Now, a one-time exposure to mold spores isn't going to be a major problem, but it's repeated exposure over long periods of time are the issues, right? And I do know there's a lot of horses out there who have issues with respiratory. They put them on things like steroid inhalers, et cetera, et cetera. And that seems to work for a while, and then afterwards they stop reacting to the medication. You know, and so again, you know, the best thing I would say, put them outdoors, let them run around, jump around in the snow, et cetera, et cetera. Now, in a perfect world, I know we can do that, but sometimes we just can't do that with some of the horses that we have, right? So
right.
One of the things I always suggest to any of my people who would be willing to listen is to say, I say to them, do a flush. Do a cleanse, a detox. And what that detox does is basically you have cleaned the system out of a lot of these toxins. And by that, because you have cleaned the system out of the toxins, it takes a lot more before the horse will react to any new toxins floating around, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have products like Respirofree, which will help with breathing issues that you have with your horse. I wish I could say it was a cure, but it isn't. But it does give remarkable symptomatic relief for this. And again, it's all herbal. It's all herbal, all natural. Nothing that will trigger positive drug tests. Right.
Okay.
So you know, I wish I had the magic bullet to say take this and it cures all ills. But unfortunately, we don't. And I don't think anybody out there has it yet. So until that happens, we have to try treating the symptoms and making our four-legged horse friends as comfortable as possible when they're indoors.
Now, right. Can I ask a question? Can I jump in?
Sure.
Quick, Jamie. When you talk about flush, what are you talking about? Now, you know, normally when I think about flushing thing, I think about sticking a hose in it and washing it out, and that's not exactly what we're talking about with your horses.
No. What we're trying to do is to try and detoxify. By detoxifying, I mean trying to get. Okay, let me explain something. When a horse breathes in something that will cause an allergic response, one of the things that it does when it breathes in, it causes the body to release things like histamines and a whole bunch of other chemicals naturally occurring in the body. Now, all these chemicals don't clear it out right away, so you have a certain residual amount in there. And so think of it like a chronic type infection. So you have a low level chronic infection going on. So every time it gets exposed to another allergen, right? You're building on what you already have in there. So all of a sudden your the chemicals in your body go up. So when we do a flush, what we're basically trying to do is we call it a detox. We're stimulating the organs in the body to get rid of some of these chemicals, so it speeds up the getting rid of it, right? And that's the idea with doing what we call a flush.
Now, is it actually okay? The part I'm having a little confusion about, and it could be because I'm just a horse husband. But mm-hmm. is it something you put in their feed? You know, like you have something called lung flush.
Yeah.
So what exactly is the process for doing it?
You can give it in their feed, top dress, or you can squirt it directly into their mouth. Right. What the lung flush will do, this particular product, it helps get rid of mucus. A lot of time with allergies, one of the things that you will see, it helps get rid of mucus. What it will do, you'll see it generates a whole bunch of mucus, so it helps blow it out, right? And then it'll just dry up that mucus, right? But one of the things that biochemically, what you don't see happening is that it actually helps the body get rid of some of these toxins. It speeds up some of the organs of elimination in the body to eliminate some of these toxins that the body generates. That's what you're doing with the flush.
The flush is not something you're using constantly every day as a you know,
maintenance
thing.
No.
You just need it. Yeah.
As needed. What I would suggest people do, you know, you do it if they're indoors for the first 3 or 4 months, you probably do it twice for the 3 or 4 months. You know what I mean? So at the beginning, you do it. And then midway through your 3 or 4 months, after the 2 month mark, you do it again. Right? It's not expensive. It's very cheap to do.
Wow. Right. Yeah. You don't have to put something in their feed every single day.
That's definitely right.
Helps out.
Yeah.
The main thing you're saying, you know, is ventilation,
That's
unfortunately,
correct.
That is not going to be the case for a lot of people with their show horses, and they're doing the mm-hmm. indoor circuit in the winter, and
That's right.
This is something that they can do to help themselves out.
To help the horses out. Now, I'm not going to give anybody false hope to say that this is going to cure anything. It is just a way of helping. I mean, we have other products that will help also with you know, depending on the severity of what's going on. Like, for example, you have some of these horses that have a hard time breathing, et cetera. You know, there is products that we carry that will help with all those things. You know, mm-hmm. So, you know, it is. What I would like to say is that this problem is, there's no easy fix.
Right. It sounds like the lung flush, though, is kind of like a reset button. It kind of like clears everything out, gets your throat clear, starts them over again, and something that can really help. So besides ventilation, is there anything else that people can do in the daily management? Because you said hosing down the arena. I've always thought, well, you just hose it down and there's no dust. But now you're saying, well, heck, that just makes the mold. So is there something they can do, let it dry out? What else?
You can let it dry out, but you see, this is a case of you're damned if you do and you're damned if you didn't, right? Because
right.
If you let it dry out, you just raise the dust back up into the air, right? And it makes a very dusty arena. And when you wet it down, it keeps the dust down, but that encourages mold growth, right? So, you know, you can't win in this situation. right? So the best thing you could do is probably try and when your horse is not indoor in the arena, try to get him as much fresh air as possible. You know, that is, I guess, the best type of solution that you would have.
And that's why people spend, now you know, millions of dollars on arena footing.
That is true.
There we go. If we could all just go to London and take the Olympic footing that they had for that show jumping ring, take it home, put it in our arena, we'd all be fine.
I don't know too much about the London footing, but I'll bet you dollars to donuts that they have their own issues too. Because it seems that there is no easy fix to a lot of different things out there, you know. But it is the nature of the sport. It is the nature of the beast, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is. And so a question, I just have a question, because being mm-hmm. here in Phoenix, Arizona, I have a problem with like dust and dirt in my hay. They get it locally. There's so much dust and dirt here in Phoenix, and when they cut the hay, so much of it gets in the hay. So what is the best way to deal with something like that? Just, you know, you people, when you pick up your hay, you throw out a flake, you get a little dust and dirt on your hands, so you know that the hay is dirty. So I've been trying to, like, hose it down and do different things, but I just can't get rid of it. What is the best thing that I can do?
I have seen people actually soaking their hay to get rid of the dust on it, and sometimes the horses like the wet hay. And that, as long as you soak enough so that it is not sitting there for 2 or 3 days, because the problem with soaking, and if, especially out your way, if you're soaking it and then you have it indoors and it's moist, you and it's warm weather, that encourages more growth. But if you soak it and then you sort of shake out as much water as you can, and then the horse eats it relatively quickly, you know, and, you know, you don't have it sitting around there for a couple of days, you know, that's probably one of the best things to do.
Okay, so just soak it, pull it out, and maybe you put it in a hay net, soak it in the bucket. Wow, my husband's going to love doing that.
horse husbands do not do that. We don't do
that.
That's
what horse husbands do, right? Right, Glenn?
I just need you to go ahead and put all six of these horses, these hay nets, put the hay in the hay nets, and then take them over to a tub, soak them for like an hour, and then pull it out and feed it to them. Don't mind
you. You know, when you're doing hay nets, how that is. It just gets all over you. I can't imagine having wet hay all over you.
But remember, it's a labor of love, Glenn.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I keep remembering that, Dr. Chang. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Chang, what else can we, where can people find out more, learn more about this if they have questions? I guess, you know, the best thing to do would be go to your Facebook page, right?
Go to our Facebook page. There's some information there about different seminars that we have on the web. That we have a lot of educational seminars on the web, and I know we have respiratory as a topic. We may even have a downloadable webinar on respiratory on our website or on our Facebook site. It's probably on our website.
Okay,
you have to pardon me.
I'm
one of those Luddites that are still trying to figure out Facebook.
All right. Well, what is the website we can send them to?
omegaalpha.ca or .com, and that will take us into the into our general page, and then from there you can go to the equine site.
Okay, perfect. It's omegaalpha.ca, omegaalpha.com. Either one works. Dr. Chang, thank you so much for being a part of today's show. As always, we learn a lot, and I just get more paranoid. But I do have some lung flush, so I'm going to get to work on that.
You can drink that, too. It's good for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fantastic. I don't think it probably tastes very good. But
well, actually, it's not too bad. I've had some. We use it all the time at home. The kids don't mind it. So, you know, if the kids don't mind, it can't be that bad.
Hold up. Let me get this straight. You line up your children. Hey, guys, teaspoon of daddy's medicine.
I just have two. It's a short line.
Still. Hey, kids, I just invented this new product. I would like for you to try it.
Oh, you should be at the office when that happens. Everybody heads for the hills.
Hey, guys, come here. Yeah. I want you to grow a tail.
Yeah, when they hear that, everybody is all of a sudden very busy.
Oh, gosh, that's fantastic. Well, Dr. Tang, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again very soon, as always. It's been a total pleasure.
Same here. You take care. Have a good week.
Bye.
I did want to clarify, it's omegaalpha.ca or omegaalphaequine.com. Actually, omegaalpha.com doesn't work. So it's omegaalphaequine.com or omegaalpha.ca.
Typical man. Doesn't even know his website.
I didn't want to correct him right when he was on the air, so I was like, oh, wait.
We'll talk behind his back.
They have a whole human side, and one of the things about Canada is that supplements really go through a really strict underwriting process up there. So, you know, it's different than it is here in the United States. So they're actually more vigorously tested, and there's actually some oversight up there when it comes to these kind of all-natural supplements. So when you get an omega-alpha product, it's coming out of Canada, it's much more tested than it is in the United States. So just a note there. Well, we're going to take a break for our song today. We have Chancey Neal, the Barrel Racer, with a song called Right Away. Right after this word from ProMat, you know, one of the things you can do to make sure that your horse's lungs are better, one of the other problems he didn't talk about, Jamie, is ammonia. The ammonia smell when the urine gets underneath the mat and it gets to stinking, that's also really bad for your horse. And one of the ways you can avoid that is through Stable Comfort by ProMat. We're going to hear about how now, and then we'll be back after the song to talk to Lovely from Horse Nation.
Hey, folks, Coach Jen here from the Horse Tip Daily Show. All of us as horsemen mull over our horses' nutrition and stress out over their stress level and fret about their fitness. But when is the last time you puzzled over your horse's lounging and sleeping comfort? Research has shown us over and over that quantity as well as quality of rest and sleep are crucial for top athletic performance as well as overall well-being. Enter Stable Comfort by ProMat. Astute horsemen everywhere have been trusting Stable Comfort by ProMat to provide unsurpassed comfort for their equine charges, as well as an efficient and economical stall flooring system that saves them both labor and bedding dollars. Still not sure? Well, here's what one of Stable Comfort by ProMat's customers has to say. When I built my first custom stables slightly more than 8 years ago, one of my greatest concerns was the stall mat selection. Frankly, I would rather have no stall mats than mats that constantly shift, tripping horses and requiring extra shavings to hide the problems in an attempt to make horses comfortable. And most of all, I dreaded the burden of having to move heavy mats and repack stall foundations. Mission accomplished, thanks to ProMat for delivering an excellent product. The horses love it because it is comfortable. I love it because it looks perfect, even after 8 years. We bed the stalls only as needed and use far less shavings than I ever could have had imagined. And it takes less time to clean the stalls when using less bedding. And that's from Ann Dewarge of Little Rock, Arkansas. But the accolades don't stop there. Head on over to StableComfort.com and find out why champions like Nick Skelton, Mary King, and Chris Cox use Stable Comfort by ProMat systems for their equine athletes.
Hanging on for dear life, what a sight. raining hard. We took cover under the tree.
Well, that's Chancy Neal with a song called Ride Away. We thank her for providing her music for us to use here on Horses in the Morning. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings. And Coach Jen is in the producer chair today. Today's show, as you know, is brought to you by Omega Alpha. Do you like that one?
I love that song. I love it, love it, love it, love it. I was singing along to it. I had my mic off, though, so it was good.
I wanted to mention to everybody that Jamie and I, over the next week or two, are going to be working on some new special musical episodes with some artists that we've actually been referred to by our listeners and have that we think are pretty good. So we're going to be adding some music to the repertoire for next year. We're going to be talking to them and playing those over the holidays. So we have some fun ones coming up.
No, it's not the repertoire in radio. You're going to be adding to the playlist.
Oh, sorry. What's repertoire then?
Radio.
Is that like you're out doing doing gigs?
I don't know. It's like a resume or something. I don't know. This is the playlist, okay?
Okay, the playlist. Our playlist, which needs some updating because, you know, we've had it, and one of the things is we have to deal with independent artists, so we can't play just everything, which kind of limits what we can play. So that's
Do you
why
know
play.
How much, like, Bon Jovi we would have heard on this radio show if we could play anything? We'd be wanted dead or alive every Tuesday, every Thursday. We would rock out some Coldplay, and we would rock out some Bon Jovi, and we would rock out maybe, I don't know, a little bit of country here and there, you know, keep it a thing. But, you know, 90s rock pretty much every day in my
Except
book.
For the days when Carrie Underwood wins out. Oh.
Glenn, you can't see her on radio, okay?
I can dream. I still can dream.
Yeah.
Well, let's. You want to do a couple news stories before we get to Leslie from Horse Nation? One of them is that Donald Trump's getting into the show jumping world. He owns this place called the Mar-a-Lago Club down in Palm Beach. And apparently it's one of the most exclusive private clubs in the world. It's 20 acres of perfectly landscaped gardens with ocean views. And just when you go to the Mar-a-Lago Club website, this place is unfreaking believable. It looks like something out of, you know, that was built in the early 1900s, which I think it was, and it was built for super millionaires, and it was just unbelievable place. Well, apparently he visited and went to the Palm Beach International Equestrian Center earlier this year to see a jumping show, and he got talking to the organizer up there, Mark Bellissimo of Equestrian Sport Productions. They got chatting, and Mark said to him, "Look, I'd love to do a show down at the Mar-a-Lago. How do you say that, Jamie? Mar-a-Lago Club?
I don't know.
Lago? Yeah, something like that. Anyway, Donald Trump's place." And Trump said, sure. So he put up $100,000, and they're bringing in some of the biggest names, and they're actually going to be doing what's called a Great Charity Challenge, and they will be providing all the proceeds from this event will go to 68 local charities. And actually, the Great Charity Challenge has raised over $3 million in the last 3 years for these local charities. So Donald's getting in on the horse action.
Well, about time he's got in on every other action. I mean, seriously. Hey, I just wanted to warn everybody. Apparently, I got all my news from England today. It was all I could find. So I just want to let everybody know, all of our England listeners. And, you know, I'm not sure if this is a problem here in the United States, but it sure could be. There's a theft that is going on, and it's not wanting people wanting to cut your horse's tails off. It's actually blanket theft, or as they call it over in England, rug theft. Apparently, it's on the rise since the weather's been colder. People are stealing horse blankets either from your tack room or off the back of your horses. A woman in Dartford, Kent, had every one of her horses' blankets stolen. They broke into the tack room. All rugs were taken out of the tack room and all off the horse's back. So they're not stealing the horses. They're not stealing the saddles. They're stealing the blankets. So crazy. The Gary Porter of the UK Horse Watch Alliance actually said it is an annual problem, and what you need to do is just really mark up your blankets. Like, put your horse's name in Sharpie on the outside so they can't resell it. That's the problem, is people are stealing them and then reselling them. What the
heck? You know,
they're
not being... The criminals are not being very efficient, because if they're going to be out there stealing the horse blankets right off the horses anyway, they could cut the tails while they're there and just take that too. It's just not efficient. I mean, you got to think ahead here if you're going to be a criminal. You got to get the most out of every job you can get, you know?
I mean, yeah, you can't bring on the property twice. Might as well do it once, get it all done with. Heck, while you're there, steal the saddles, and then you know what? Might as well steal the horses too. Just clear them all out.
Well, you know, the horses, you know, they're hard to get rid of and everything, but you could take their shoes if you were really, you know, hard up.
Melted down. Yeah, that sounds easy. Pull the shoes up all the horses. You don't really hear of that as a theft problem.
No, you really don't.
Yeah.
Well, something you see a lot. Well, jockey Debbie Hoonan racked up, get this, and she's out of Oregon. She races at a track up there in Oregon called Portland Meadows. I don't know if it's a lot like the track you were at in Arizona, but she racked up 7 victories in one day. On December the 2nd, she had 7 victories in one day. That's very unusual, whether you're a male or female jockey. Doesn't matter what breed of jockey you are, it just doesn't happen. So for her, she was very excited about it. She thanked her agent. Yeah, I guess. I want to thank my agent. By the way, the agent's nickname is Marbles. His actual name is David Singer, but his nickname is Marbles. It sounds like a mafia guy, doesn't it? Marbles. He gets me my rides.
If you're a jockey agent at Portland Meadows, you're working in some sort of like trash company as well. Okay, that sounds pretty good. Now, did you notice the name of the horse on the 6th race?
No.
Chick Diggum. I love that name.
Wasn't there a gin and tonic or something, too? One of the races.
My Gin and Tonic. Yeah, that was one of the horses. Freedom Last Night. Sneaking By. Another one, Lean Gozine, and then Wild WBT. So it was kind of lame. But definitely the Chicks Dig Him was an awesome name, and which he, in his second career as an eventer, would definitely stick.
Now, do you worked at the track at Keeneland there, so you got to see the agents doing their thing, and we got to see a little bit of it in that jockey show that we watched a couple of years ago. But people don't realize how much those agents are out there hustling, trying to get their jockeys jobs, and what kind of slimy business that can be. I don't know if it was that way at Keeneland, but it certainly can be at some of these other tracks.
Yeah, I didn't have to have an agent. I was just an exercise rider. I didn't really talk to any of them. I had no pull. I made no decisions. So no, I didn't have to deal with anybody like that. But I did have an agent for radio, and that is, you definitely, I mean, they are there to get as much as they can, which I appreciated as the person who hired the agent. So they were
and then they take their 10%.
Exactly.
There you go.
Exactly. The job, they were like, we'll offer you this. And me, I was like, okay. But, of course, he's like, no, we're going to need this. I was like, super excited. Sure. I'll do it for nothing.
Yeah,
why not? I'm an idiot. So, speaking of, we talked a little bit about Donald Trump. And, you know, he's got his reality show, Celebrity Apprentice. Well, you know, do you ever watch The X Factor?
I have, like, on occasion, not a lot.
Well, that's Simon Cowell's over here in the United States, but there's one over in England, and we're just talking about jockeys. I wonder if the agent gets paid. There's a former jockey that is singing his way to the X Factor final. A former jockey, his name is Jamie Hamblett. He pursued a singing career, and he is now... He is now a member of the boy band Union J. Oh, God. He was a jockey, and now he's in a boy band, and he's on the X Factor. He actually made it to the semifinals to be on the X Factor.
Well, I'll see if I can find some of his music for Wednesday, okay? We'll see if we can catch him singing on Wednesday. We'll play a little bit of it. Of course, Frankie Lovato, you know, we know that Frankie sings. You know, we've played his songs a number of times on the show.
I would want to watch Frankie dance with a boy band, though. No,
I don't think his wife Sandy would either.
No.
That's funny. All right, well, let's go to our next guest. Leslie Wiley is here, as she is every Monday at 10 o'clock, talking about what's going on HorseNation.com. Good morning, Leslie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Oh, you got it, didn't you?
I've got nervous head. You guys all have to go easy on me today. Not making me laugh too much.
Oh, no, you got the cold. Well, we'll go easy on you today, okay?
Okay.
Sorry to hear that. Everybody's getting the cold, it seems like. Well, let's talk about what's happening on Horse Nation. You had an interesting article that you wrote on, or actually posted pictures, of Jackie Onassis. You know, one of the things we forget about is, I think, the last time, right, that they actually had horses or ponies that they kept at the White House was during Jackie O's time, right?
Right. I think so. I think that's right. Yeah, I mean, she was a very avid horsewoman throughout her life. You know, she did horse shows growing up, and then was passionate about fox hunting. I think she hunted with Essex Hunt. So we posted these photos of her riding around and looking fabulous. That's what the story is called, 13 photos of Jackie O looking fabulous around horses. And there's even one of her falling off, and she looks stylish.
Of course she does.
I was going to ask if that was her. It was obviously during a fox hunt, and the horse was coming up on a wooden fence row.
Yes.
And Jackie is going over the fence, and the horse is not.
Right.
Yes. Jackie dumped it, the horse didn't. And I was trying to look, and it looks like she's there with her kids, obviously, one of the ponies. Does anybody remember the name of the ponies that were kept at the White House?
I don't. I don't remember what they were.
Tell
us what it is, Cliff Clavin.
I don't know. I don't know either. But I do know that something like popcorn or something like that. One of our listeners will post it on our Facebook page, I'm sure. But these were some great photos. You looked around to find these.
I did. I looked all over the place. They're fantastic. And they're very, you can really tell how much she loved riding. And in every single photo, you know, she just looks so happy. On my Christmas list this year, there's this book called The Private Passion of Jackie Kennedy Onassis, Portrait of a Rider. Are you guys familiar with that?
No.
I think it's kind of a coffee table book, but there's photos, but there's also a text about, or a lot of text in it is also about, a portrait documentary of her life riding from being in, I think the first time she sat on a horse was when she was just a year old. Started showing, doing the hunters and as a child, and then, ended up, I think it seems like, certainly she was under huge stress, as a first lady, and she's had such a tumultuous life. And it always, you can really tell in these photos that, I think horses, and the same thing as it is for a lot of us, was kind of an escape, when everything seems crazy and stressful, you can go ride your horse and it's quiet and just kind of get away from it all. So.
Well, I'll tell you what, she was escaping when she was wearing those balloon pants. Jamie's just waiting for those to come back.
Please never let the balloon breeches come back.
No. Yeah, but you know what? I mean, she's Jackie O. Like, she's amazing in them, of course. You know, that's the thing. It's, they were designed for her. Nobody else should have even tried.
Now, Jamie's going to need them soon. You're going to be needing some of those soon. We can probably have some sent to you.
My thighs are not, my baby's not being carried in my thighs, Glenn. Okay, thank God. I don't need any help there. But no, she looks amazing. She looks fantastic. It's so cool to see how she involved her kids and the passion of the horses. And, it's just something that I do love the fashion that she shows in riding and how different everything is now. I mean, there's no saddle pad. They didn't use saddle pads back then.
Right, yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. I think that's amazing. And to see her out there fox hunting, it's not like she was, wearing a padded suit out there. She was actually going for it and chasing the hounds. And she was just such an amazing lady. And it's just something that you just realize that you can share with your kids. And it warms my heart. She's just such a cool lady.
All right, very good. And then the next article that you wanted to talk about was one of your knickerdoodles.
Yes. Melanie Eberhardt writes a comic for us called Knickerdoodles. Love that name. And her comic from last week was called It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year. And it's basically, it's about these two horses, and they're getting dressed up, to be in the annual Christmas. I mean, I know there are tons of horse people who can relate to this, but you get your horse, you put the reindeer antlers on and the Santa hat. I know there's lots of people that are guilty of that out there, and lots of horses that are really good sports about it. It's a really cute comic if you want to check it out.
Yeah, it is really cute. I enjoyed that too. And she does good work. She's actually, I think she's getting a little better as she goes along here. It seems to be improving too as she goes along. It was cute.
Yeah.
And then the last one you wanted to talk about, which I had a chuckle watching this morning, was Horses Jumping Cars.
Yeah.
And we're talking about intentionally jumping cars, not accidentally jumping cars.
Right. Well, you know, I've always been curious about this. You know, horses jumping cars. Is it insane as it looks, or do horses just sort of see it as another jump? You know, some of these videos, they have the car. Some of them, they're just jumping a straight car, but some of them, they kind of have the car framed in, you know, in standards and with poles on either side. So it just is kind of like an oxer with really bizarre filler, you know. So I guess if you just think of it as, you know, another jump, it's maybe not strange as it seems, but I don't know. I
tell you what, though, Jamie and Jet, yesterday they won all kinds of blue ribbons at the jumper show. This is coming up here for you, Jamie.
Yeah, I'm not jumping a car. No thanks. When I was younger, I jumped the hood of my Acura Legend, but I lived in Ohio and the whole car was covered in rust anyway, so I didn't really care if my horse hit it. But we just jumped the hood. So she says, this is a really cool horse. But watching these, like the first photo you have is amazing. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's
so everybody definitely
is that
go check it out.
Jumping a car, he's clearing it by about 2 feet.
Yeah. And there's lots of videos of like professional show jumpers, and they're in the show jumping arena, and they jump the car, and they immediately, 3 strides later, have to turn left because the arena is ending. Crazy. And then there's like the backyard people that are currently jumping cars, which looks a little crazier. No helmet,
yep.
Nothing.
Not
yeah,
being an expert
yeah.
at teaching, but maybe you guys could tell me. Is it a big help to have the standards before and after the car? Or, you know, is the horse going to – does that help?
No, I don't know. I really – and truly, I just – you know, the closest I've ever come to jumping a car was – I think it was at Red Hills Horse Trials a couple of years ago. And they had – it was like a skinny, and maybe Mercedes was a sponsor, and they had the skinny kind of flanked by Mercedes, and I was like, please don't run out and scratch one of these gorgeous cars.
Yeah.
that takes a lot of to put it, you know, goodness gracious.
Not to mention,
what if
you
your
screw
horse
up,
nicked the top or
if you screw up, it's bad because, you know, if you screw up and he only half jumps this thing, you know, half-heartedly and doesn't go with all his gusto, his front legs are going through that side window. It's not a good thing if he doesn't want to do this.
No, probably not a great idea unless your horse, you are very confident in your horse's jumping ability and willingness to jump so you don't.
Okay, so what we'll do here, Jamie, is we'll start Jet jumping a smart car. And then we'll move him up to a and then we can move him up to a full size Mercedes. Well, we'll do it in steps.
Well, heck, why don't I just jump the back of my pickup truck then, Glenn? I mean, might as well start big.
Sure. That's even better. Be great.
Oh dear. Well, yeah. Let me know how that works out for you.
Yeah. Sure. I will.
Well, that's great. And, of course, there's all kinds of other neat stuff that you can find at horsenation.com. It's a very fun website. There's all kinds of articles on there. They always have the Friday roll call and, you know, just the oh, crap moment of the day and just entertaining stuff about horses. So you can find that at horsenation.com. We're not going to make you talk too much longer. You sound like you need to get over your cold. Thank you, Leslie. We appreciate you being here.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks, Leslie.
Bye.
Well, she was a trooper to still come out after having a cold like that today. We appreciate
it. Poor little
kid. I have some happy stories for you. I tried hard because you bitch sometimes. I get, you know, put these random death stories in and stuff. So today, I looked and I looked and I looked to try and find some happy horse stories, and I did. How about this? How about a lady who goes out and finds a miniature horse 13 years ago, by the name of Tinker. And one day, this lady is going out to the store and sees the Salvation Army, you know, the little guy ringing the bell, ding, 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 raising money for the Salvation Army. And she looks at that and says, you know, I wonder if I could help the Salvation Army. And, you know, I bet you I could get Tinker to help, her little miniature horse. So she went home. She started working with Tinker. Her name is Carol. She started working with Tinker, and she actually taught Tinker to hold the little bell in Tinker's little miniature horse mouth and ring the bell. Well, she thought, well, that's got to, maybe that'll work. That'll help get people's attention. So she brought Tinker to the store and helped out the Salvation Army by having Tinker ring the bell. Well, now Tinker has become the most successful fundraiser for this particular Salvation Army in West Bend, Indiana that there is. Apparently the people at the Salvation Army said a good kettle for a couple of hours brings in $250. In the same time period, Tinker can bring in $2,500.
Oh, my God.
That's what a human does. Apparently, he's been doing it now for a number of years. Apparently, they will. There are people that wait to go to that store when Tinker is there to donate just because they like Tinker so much. So what a good cause for a little mini that learned to ring a bell. And apparently, there's no devices or anything. He holds the bell in his mouth with his teeth.
That, okay, you know what, Glenn? It is impossible for me to walk into a store and not put money in the thing. I mean, these people are volunteering. They're standing there ringing the bell. I can't not put money in the thing. If there was a dang pony standing out there ringing the bell, I'd take off my shirt and put it in there. I would.
I know. And she said it's just coincidence. She said this horse, this pony, or actually miniature horse, since the day she got it 12 years ago, was named Tinker. So isn't it kind of cool, the irony there, that she actually ends up being the one out there? Yeah. So cute. Anyway, I thought that was cute. It was a good story, right? A good, cute story.
That is.
Well, now there's another one going on, and this is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. About 200 horses and riders are from a whole big area in Oklahoma are gathering for the annual, what do they call it? It's a Toys for Tots ride on December the 15th. About 200 of them get together. They all have to donate toys to go on this ride, and they raise money, and they raise a whole bunch of, they get a whole bunch of different toys for the Toys for Tots program, and they have themselves a terrific trail ride all together in Oklahoma. So there's a bunch of equestrian groups that participate in this in the annual roundup. So that, I just thought that was a fun story where equestrians are out doing something nice. And
I
then
think it's
there's
great. To comment on that, that's what I love about the holidays the most is the fact that everybody reaches into their pocket and displays a little bit more for charity and does a little bit more for their fellow human that might need a little bit of help here and there. And I just think it's great. And this is just an example of that, where you can get your horses together and do charity work, you know, to take your horse and to be able to ride it for somebody else or for something else, I just think is a great thing.
There were a couple of the groups that are involved in that I thought had fun names. Cowboys on the Fence is a trail riding group. Gang of Roses, the Tulsa Lone Riders, and then this was my special favorite, Tulsa Low Riders, I just kind of pictured, you know, plumber butts sticking out the back as they're riding along. You know, the Tulsa Low Riders, you know.
That is not what I thought at all. Well, I was thinking they were riding like ponies, Icelandic ponies or something.
I was picturing plumber butts with very low-rise jeans.
You're a man.
That's one of our story that is kind of incredible story. It ended up with a happy ending. Didn't start out so good. This is in England. A bride, you know how brides really like to take horse-drawn carriage rides, and it's become very popular now, taking horse-drawn carriage rides to the church or away from the church. Well, in this case, the bride and her father were taking a horse-drawn carriage ride to the church to get married in the afternoon at 2 p.m. Well, unfortunately, they had a collision with a car. A car hit the carriage, and on the way to the church. Now, you would think that, you know, some brides might consider that an omen, that a Honda CRV decided to wreck their wedding and that maybe they shouldn't get married to this guy. Maybe somebody is trying to tell them something. Well, apparently not the case with this particular bride. Four ambulances and a helicopter were called to the scene. The driver was hurt but is going to be okay. Apparently the driver had his daughter, an 18-year-old daughter with him. She was hurt but is going to be okay. They're going to be okay. And the bride and the father got out with minor injuries. Now, Janie, you are looking at the picture of what's left of this carriage. The wheel, I can't even tell it's a, you can sort of tell it's a carriage. This thing was destroyed. And the fact that anybody got out of this alive is amazing.
This person, whoever hit it, did not just tap it. They crushed it. And apparently it was 2 p.m. in the afternoon, right? So it was like daytime.
Yeah, it was
so
daylight.
It's not like it
yeah.
was a black carriage in the dark. And this is crazy. So the horses, the fact that that everybody wasn't dead, to me, it tells me, honey, run to that wedding, because if you can walk away from something like that, you can handle marriage.
Well, that's what she did. Her and the father ended up getting a ride, obviously, to the church. They were several hours late, but they ended up doing the service anyway, and obviously the groom was happy to see her because he was already at the church waiting when she was in this accident on the carriage.
Oh.
So they did get married, and you would like it. I don't have the picture of him in here for you, but he was in a kilt. He was wearing his full Scottish garb for the wedding and looked quite handsome in his kilt. And it was actually quite appropriate because the carriage was hired from a place called Tartan Carriages. But the horses were okay, too, and that, I was really expecting bad news on the horses here, but the horses were fine. They had a couple scratches. How anybody survived, I'm telling you people, this doesn't look like a carriage anymore. It is demolished.
Wow.
And so it ended up with a fairly happy ending, except for the carriage, which is not looking so good.
Well, and I was wondering about the driver of the car. They said they're investigating the incident. I mean, obviously, yeah. They're going to have to. To me, if you hit a horse-drawn carriage that hard, you're drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to wait.
At 2 p.m., you've got a problem. Yes.
Yeah.
A problem.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Anyway, those are my happy stories.
Well, that's happy. I guess everybody walked away. So that's good. Well, you know, just one more jockey story. You know, the MIG, Richard Migliori, jockey that we have. Yeah, he comes on all the time when we have some racing stuff to talk about. Well, he has been honored by being the host of the New York Racing Association's new owner luncheon. He's going to actually be like the host of this whole huge event, which is really expensive. It has an award ceremony, Q&A sessions, really big deal, and he is going to be the host of it. So we'll have to give him a hard time about that.
Terrific. And then one last story. You know how us guys, we can get distracted by one thing in particular. We can get distracted, I can think of two things, but there's one thing that really distracts us. And I am really glad to see that human guys are not the only thing that's distracted by this. Because apparently Totalus is having the same problem as us guys.
Yes, he
is. Dressage superstar Totalus apparently will have reduced stud duties in 2013 following two disappointing years of competition since getting his new owner. Apparently, they are thinking that being a stud is kind of distracting him from his work as a dressage horse.
Yeah, they're going to reduce his stud fee. But, you know, also, it'll probably just up the value of the baby since he's going to be breeding a lot less, but... Yeah, they really want to get him competing. I mean, he missed the Olympics because his rider was sick, which is, he should totally be back with his old rider. So he's ridden by Matthias Rath now, and Matthias was sick before the Olympics. And so he hasn't been competed as much. They really want to get him back into competing. They want him to go to the national championships and win everything. So they're going to... basically seriously reduce the collections that they're doing on him to make sure that he competes. His stud fee, to me, this sounds low for Totalus, but whatever. I mean, his stud fee is 8,000 pounds, which is probably like $15,000. I guess that is pretty high for a dressage horse, huh?
Yeah, and you want to know something? He's had one of his progeny so far has been sold in Germany in October. At a foal auction, 200,000 euros.
Oh,
not too bad for a foal, huh? in the sport horse world.
That's 200,000 pounds. So that's almost, that's like $300,000 plus for a foal. Oh my God.
Yeah,
that's
you,
a good
you
return
only,
on your investment.
Yeah, you only see that in the thoroughbred world. I don't know that you ever see that in the sport horse world. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for today. That's about all the good news we have for you. That's it. That's all the good news there was in the world over the weekend. We're done.
Well, at least we had some good news. That's good. Yes. No bad stories today. So that's fantastic. Well, everybody have a great day. Thank you very much. I'm going to go down and hopefully try to get a couple horses adopted out today from MASH. Glenn, hopefully you have a good day. Jennifer, go ride your horse for crying out loud. Quit working so much.
Thank you, everybody. Remember, Wednesday we're going to be back with the crappiest Christmas songs.
Spay, neuter, and geld, people. Make the world a better place.